Welcome to Keep You 100 Radio. I'm your host, Lissy Pointer, type 1 diabetic, certified health coach, personal trainer, and founder of Needles and Spoons Health and Wellness. Inside this podcast, you'll find the real and raw conversations around diabetes management, including the lessons that we don't learn in our endo's office, my best tips and trainings, and conversations from the experts that I trust inside the community so that you can create more predictability in your diabetes management and feel empowered while doing so. Let's dive in. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Keep 100 Radio. Today, we have one of my favorite kind of episodes, and we are bringing a Keep 100 alumni onto the podcast. And I love doing these episodes just because we get to hear where they are now, their journey so far, and just kind of share some of those celebrations. So today, we have Taylor Moore on the podcast. She was a part of Keep 100. Oh, man, has it been like a year now, or was it earlier this year?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's wild. We have Taylor Moore. Yeah, she was an alumni. Yeah, I remember you joined right after my road trip. Oh my gosh. Okay, so we're going to dive all into that, but I want to give you a second to introduce yourself and share a little bit more about your type 1 journey.
Yeah, so I'm Taylor. I joined Keeping It 100 about a year ago. It was literally right after your road trip. Somehow I saw you on Instagram. I don't think I was following you before, but I kept seeing like your videos pop up and I was like, how is she like staying in range? And how is she like hiking the Grand Canyon and like then sitting all day and like eating, you know, all the things that like are different than your normal life. And I was like, there's literally no way. So then I went down the rabbit hole of like the whole Keeping 100 account and Needles and Spoons and all that. And I think that day or that night, I went to my husband. I was like, I need to do this. And he was like, you're a great diabetic. Like, he just didn't know anything about diabetes until he was like in it. But he's like, you know, you're doing great. You're keeping yourself alive. Like, we don't have to go to the hospital like ever, you know? And I was like, no, there's some things, you know, that I need to kind of fine tune and, you know, get better at and learn. And he was just kind of like, okay, like, how do you not know everything? Like, you've been living with this for like 18 years, you know, like you don't know what you don't know. So yeah, that's when I found you. And then, yeah. So I think it's been 18 years, 2005, I was diagnosed. I was 14, right in the middle of middle school. And yeah, on your question, you asked, like, what are you doing, like, career-wise? Currently on maternity leave, so that's my career.
That's fine.
If it'll become a hybrid role of some sorts, who knows? It's all new, uncharted territory. So I have a 9-week-old, almost 10-week-old, and life is crazy, and it's great.
You're a full-time mom now. That's insane.
Yeah, it's very weird. Because that was my underlying goal of doing Keeping It 100 was like, not that like you guys had like, oh, do 1 through 5 and like you get pregnant. Like, it wasn't like a let's try to get pregnant kind of program. But knowing like if I fine tuned some things and got healthier in a lot of ways that it would be easier for my body. And so that was our underlying goal of doing it and committing to it financially and time wise and all of that. And yeah, got pregnant. Probably about 6 to 8 months after I think I finished, maybe a little bit less than that. Not sure. I think it was about December. So whenever we started, I don't know.
I remember you were like, hey, I'm pregnant. We're like, holy shit. That's amazing. But it was, no, I do actually remember very clearly of like, I remember looking at Instagram. It's like you had followed my account, the Keep 100 account. You had joined our Facebook page. And I'm like, who is this Taylor girl? And then I saw your application. I'm like, all right, we're doing the dang thing. And we hop on our consultation call and it was just like perfect timing, perfect like opportunity. I felt like just because it's actually interesting. Like you had been saying that you've been living with diabetes for 18 years. So I want to kind of backtrack a little bit of like kind of to your husband's point of, hey, you have a good handle on this. Like you've been living with this for 18 years. Like, don't you know what you're doing? Kind of, you know, kind of mentality. What kind of made you realize that you wanted additional support and accountability?
I think I was trying to think about that earlier. It's hard to like go back a year and think of like what led me to do it, right? But I think overall I kind of wanted just to know like the whys behind things. Like at the time, I would say I was probably the best controlled I had ever been when I started keeping at 100. And so that was even harder to convince my husband, like, especially financially, to like buy in, right? He's like, you're doing great. The endo says like, you're doing great. But it was, you talk about it all the time on the podcast, like in keeping at 100, like on Instagram, all the things of like, you show up, your endo appointment's 15 minutes. Like they look at 2 weeks, which is really like, how many times do we sit down when they're pulling up the 2 week data and we're like, oh, but like last week I was on a road trip and the night before that I was at a grad party. You know, it's like those 2 weeks never are like the everyday life, even though they are, right? Like, and you learn that in keeping it 100, like you don't have to, every day doesn't have to be the same. Like I think a lot of us were taught when we were younger. So really that is kind of a snapshot, but yeah, just going into those appointments and just being kind of like, okay, like they just made like a little tweak and like, okay, like I just spent what, $300 something on that appointment for you to tell me nothing really, for you to make an adjustment that probably will end up not actually even working out that well. And yeah, so just kind of every three to six months, like doing that, going through the motions. And like I said, like no scary, like hospital visits, like nothing like that, that was like, I need to get this together. It was more just like, I think I was just very, I don't know that I was burned out. I definitely remember like as a young adult and like through college and all of that, like very burnt out. But I think it's just because I didn't have the resources or the like emotional support in the community. And so, yeah, just kind of circling back to like, I had pretty good control, but I was just kind of like winging it, if that makes sense. Like, I was just kind of winging it. A lot of it was like reactive. My A1C was like kind of within range. Like, you know, it just, everything was just kind of like, eh, you're doing pretty good. Like whatever, you know, I was just like sliding under the radar, really, like just cracks. And then when, you know, we started talking about like wanting to get pregnant and all of that, like all I had heard for 18 years was like, your A1C has to be like 2%, you know, 2.5, like just so crazy, right? All these freaking numbers that they throw at you and like just some things are just so unrealistic. You're like, yeah, you don't know anything about diabetes. But yeah, like knowing I needed tighter control for that. And so that was kind of my motivation. But yeah, kind of circling back, like just kind of really being curious about like the why of like, why am I 400? How then instead of just like stacking insulin, taking shots, going on a walk, like all the things they tell you, right? Like when you're in, like, you're that high, like, let's figure out kind of like, and of course, like you could try the same thing on three different highs and they don't always work, but kind of just like getting more tools in my toolbox. And yeah, really trying to figure out the why behind it. I think for me, like, the emotional like load of diabetes was really impacted by keeping it 100. Yesterday, I don't even know what happened. I typically only get 2 days out of my pods when they're written for three, as you know. But I think it's because I eat, you know, I eat all the carbs. So like, especially when I was pregnant, like my rates, you know, my insulin needs went up. Not drastically like they say they're going to, but they definitely went up. And so a meal that maybe used to be like maybe 10 units was now like 15, 20. And like all of that going into like your arm right there, you know, like it would get irritated. So I only get like 2 days now out of a pod. So I don't really know what was going on yesterday, but all of a sudden I started like kind of rising. And then I was like high 100s. And I was like, we should go on a walk. And the kid wasn't sleeping. So I was like, we should go on a walk.
We need to go now.
Yeah, and then he started sleeping and he's like, should we go? I said, no, my blood sugar's like, we need to commit to this. And so we start walking and like, he's like, what's your blood sugar? Like 10 minutes in. And I was just thinking it would do what it normally does. You know, when it's starting to go high and you start to walk, like it starts to kind of level off and then it'll go down a little bit. And so I wasn't even watching it. I was just trusting it would do what it's supposed to do. And then I look and it's like 250 and we're going up. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. But I still didn't like really let it bother me. And then we just walked a little bit extra and then we got home and then just like kept going up, 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 up. to the point where literally my Dexcom read high. And I was like, I don't think I have seen this in, I don't even know when, if I've ever. And it might have been like an accidental high in the past, like my sensor was off. But this was like I was finger sticking and I was like, this is really weird. And in the past, I would have been like freaking out, which would have made it, you know, go higher, of course. But, and like I told my husband and he was like, he wasn't really freaking out either because he's like got the confidence in me of like, you got it, you know? And he's like, well, why? And I was like, I don't really know why, which is funny because it's like, I joined Keeping It 100 to like figure out the why. And in this moment, I didn't really care about the why. I did in a sense, because that was a factor, like my pod just went bad. But I was able to like, even though I was 400, I was able to like somehow mentally have the clarity to like kind of troubleshoot. And again, like it doesn't always work, right? And so I, you know, I was taking more insulin and I kept the pod on because I wasn't sure. I had had a coffee earlier. And so I was like, maybe it's the coffee. Maybe I was distracted on a call earlier. And so maybe I didn't take enough for lunch. Like, I don't know. And then I was like, well, after my walk, it should have at least like leveled off, and it didn't. And so I was like, I don't think I'm getting any insulin. And so he was like, well, go take a hot shower, because he knows that that always like makes me go lower. And in the past, when I was more like reactive, I think I would have. But like in the moment, he was like, well, you're 400. Like, don't you want it to come down? I was like, yes, I want it to come down. But thankfully, I don't feel like shit right now, which is real. So I was like, I don't feel crazy right now. And so like, I don't feel the urgency for that. But I was like, I'm trying to get behind what's going on here. Like, is it my pod that's bad? Is it like not spending too much time of like thinking back to 3 o'clock when I was eating, you know, like, did I miss it? Did I not? Like, I didn't care that much, but instead of being reactive of like taking a bunch of insulin through my pod and then taking a shot and then like going on another walk and then taking a shower and then, you know, ultimately I would have plummeted, but then I, why? Like why I was plummeting, right? Like, I wouldn't have known like what caused that. And so, yeah, it was like, it was in that moment. I think I haven't had a lot of the last like 9 weeks, really since being pregnant, that I could like sit down and like think through a diabetes kind of moment like that. Especially the last 9 weeks. It's like when you're pregnant, every little moment feels like it's like so important. And it is, right? It's affecting the baby and the growth and all that. But like your every move, your every high, everything that goes in your mouth, you know, like everything is like, okay, this is going to impact the baby. Like this is more serious. It's not just me anymore. Versus now I'm like, it's kind of, I remember like listening to Bree's episode of her. I think she mentioned something about like diabetes kind of goes on the back burner a little bit. And it does. And I remember hearing her say that when I was pregnant and was like
no way.
That sounds like a cool idea. But like, there's literally no way, because I was in the midst of like being pregnant and it being so like forefront of my mind all the time. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, oh, I remember Lizzie like teaching us about that. I can't remember the name, but when you said like when you're kind of out of your routine and you can't like really control something, what was that called?
Yeah, like the high variability moments.
Yeah. And like, that's been the last like 9 weeks. It's like, it's all been that. And just like all the hormone changes and all of that, like, and not being as active as I was, and it just not being like as urgent currently. Like, of course my health matters, right? But it's just a whole different world when it's not like directly affecting the child, because now the child's right here. It is affecting him, right? Like, I can't be passing out on the ground or like super cranky because I'm 400, but it's it's just very different. So that was a long one, but I think I covered it in there.
You did. No, this is awesome. And like, it's so interesting where you are now of like you said yesterday, you're able to remain kind of more level headed around it. Like, obviously being high like that isn't ideal, but like there's a difference between feeling like you have to react so quickly and like take a shower and get your blood sugar down to like, hey, I have tools in my tool belt. Let me try and use them. That didn't work. Okay, well, what is my next move? Actually being conscious about it. And I feel like when you, well, going to your routine now, like it's weird because it's high variability every day because you're living on somebody else's clock now. Like, there's no way of telling what your routine is. But it's also like, it is your routine, because now it's like you have a baby, like this is your new normal, which has to be such a weird position to be in.
Yeah, it's very weird.
But so how was, I want to hear kind of about your pregnancy, because we weren't working together at that point. How was the pregnancy? Like, how was that with your management and the experience? Like, I'm just curious to know more.
Gosh, how can I wrap it all up? It's so funny. I tell people, like, you know, they hear, oh, you have type one, or they know I have type one. And like all they've heard, or either they heard from me or they've just heard, you know, oh, my so-and-so had it and it was so awful during pregnancy and all the things. My pregnancy was like majority of it awful, but thank God it was not because of diabetes. And that was the biggest thing I was like so scared of, was that all I had heard for 18 years from endos was, I mean, back in the day it was, I can't get pregnant. Like, it's just going to be impossible because there's just no way. Because my health is like this all the time, you know, like back before CGMs and all of that, like you're not gonna be able to get pregnant. And then it turned into, when you do get pregnant, it's gonna be really hard, you know, basically you're gonna be like bedridden. And I was like, oh, okay. And then, yeah, so it was always just so negative, like so negative. And so at that point, I wasn't really on the like, side where I am now of like, I'm going to prove all of you people wrong. Like all of you medical professionals that are supposed to have hundreds of years of schooling, like combined together, like I'm going to prove you wrong. Right. Oh, now yeah. I'm still on that side. But before it was like, you don't know what you don't know. Right. So it's like all these doctors telling me like, it's going to be so hard or impossible. Like, do I even really want to try? And then I like remember as a younger adult thinking like, I had no idea if it was going to be passed on to my kids. And I remember thinking like, and my control was like so terrible at the time. Like, I don't want to put them through this. Like, do I even want to have kids? Like, I don't want to pass that on to them if I have like the option, you know? And yeah. And just different things. Like the doctors would say like, oh, and this was even more recent of like, first trimester, you're going to have so many lows, like scary lows. You might even like pass out. And then second, your insulin will like double. And then third, it'll like triple. And then you're going to have so many highs and you're going to be so high all the time. And then we're going to have to induce you because your blood sugars are out of control. And like all this stuff, it was just like 18 years accumulation of just negative. And where I live, I think there's only like 110,000 people like kind of in the area. And I'm about like 3 hours from like Portland, which is like the nearest city. And I came from Seattle, where literally I would have so many options for endos that it was overwhelming of like how to choose one, or even like a hospital to deliver at. Like so many, I have friends that I'm like, what hospital? Because there's like five near you. Versus here, it's like a handful of endos. Everyone kind of knows they suck here. Well, there's one within from here to Portland. And so like that's the one you got, you know, so like not a lot of choice. And yeah, so it was all like very daunting, but then, you know, I was in the situation. And so I'm like, okay, we're doing it. The first 5 months, I had morning sickness all day long, all the time. It was terrible. And especially for someone like me who like, I mean, I don't really know who like enjoys having the flu or like throwing up, but I like refuse to throw up until my body is actually doing, like, I'm not the person who's like, my stomach hurts. I can like make myself gag to like relief. Like, it has to come out for me to be like, oh, okay, I'm throwing up now. And then, you know, better. But yeah, so the whole first trimester, it was just nauseous all the time. I could not eat anything. My blood sugars were pretty controlled because, in a sense, I was fasting a lot. So they were pretty controlled. And so I didn't really have to think about them a ton. And then it was tricky because I was on the verge of throwing up all the time. And so I was like, oh, I actually am hungry, or I know I need to eat something like with carbs in it. Who knows if I'm going to throw up though? Like, you know, trying to figure out like how to time insulin. Yeah. And like, am I going to throw this up in 10 minutes? And then am I going to have to drink a bunch of juice and like hope that I don't throw that up? Like, and then I'm going to be in the emergency room. You know, it's just like, it was crazy. So crazy. It was like 5 months of living with the flu. Like, it was awful. And then the doctors, like, you know, they, you know, treat you like, just like in diabetes, they treat you like you know, they give you the book answers. And so they're like, oh, well, second trimester, you're going to feel a lot better. And I was like, okay, great. And so literally I was like counting down to like the date of when I would be in like that range of the second trimester. Well, that's when I actually started throwing up all the time.
Oh my God.
I know. So then it was like, it was so weird. Certain things would like trigger me. Like taking a shower would literally make me throw up. It was like the weirdest thing. Yeah, it was so weird. And our shower wasn't dirty or anything. It was just like so weird. So then I started trying to have a shower in the other shower. Sometimes that helped. Sometimes it didn't.
Dang.
And so my husband would like hear me or like brushing my teeth almost every time. And most of the time I didn't brush my teeth going to work. Because thankfully, like at the time we were like still wearing masks because I was in the medical field. The only perk to wearing a mask in my
like you can't smell my breath.
Yeah, because it was like I'm gonna throw up and then I'm gonna have to be late, you know, and I'm gonna have to try to figure out how to eat, and then I'm gonna feel gross from throwing up. And then like, oh, it was just terrible. Like so terrible. And like I don't have a belly at the time, right? So it's like so hard to like keep in mind of this is all good things, you know? Like,
right. You know, that's a little extra reminder.
Yeah, it was awful. And then a couple of things changed. And I think it was just, I just kept getting curious of like, there's got to be more to this morning sickness thing. Like people have been so sick for so long. Like there's got to be some like underlying like deficiencies or something that causes it. So then I got super curious. I started messing around with like some magnesium and different like nausea remedies and like a bunch of stuff. And I stopped taking a prenatal because I realized that that was making me sick. And then all of a sudden, kind of like overnight, I don't know what it was, I stopped being sick all the time. It's so weird.
Really, I'm not asked questions.
Yeah, it was so weird. And then there was about a month in there, like the end of second trimester, beginning of third, that I was like, wow, this is what those weird women who are like enjoy being pregnant all the time. This is what this feels like, right? Because I have like a cute little tummy. Excuse me. It was summer. So I'm like, have a cute bikini on. I haven't worn a bikini in like ever. And so, yeah, there was about a month where I was like, oh, I get it. This is great. And then it was downhill from there. Cause you know, everything started hurting and then I would get swelling and like, but like blood sugar wise, all of that, I was just like, emotionally kind of just a wreck because all I knew was, oh, you're going to double your resistance and you're going to triple your insulin and like it's going to be so terrible and then we're going to have to induce you. And I was like so against like wanting to be induced. So it's just, and like every time I would go to my OB, I went through five, Lissy. Like they were, yeah, I probably saw everyone in the town because from the very beginning they were just like, because you have type one, we're not going to let you go past 37 weeks. And I was like, that seems a little crazy to me. Like usually you hear like 38, 39 for people, you know, with health issues,
mm-hmm.
not going to let you, you can't go past that. And I was like, And at first I was just kind of gathering information. I was like, I'll bring it up later, you know, that I'm going to push back on that a little bit. And then I think I stuck it out with the first one for 6 months. And every time I would see her, it was terrible. It was like the only stressful part of my pregnancy. She was like, you know, you can't do this because you have diabetes here. This is going to happen because you have diabetes. Just like so much fear. Like it was just crazy. And I expected it in a sense, but when you're in it and like you have a living being in you that you're trying to raise like the best way you can for them to be like, you have to be induced and you can't do this and this and this and this. It was awful. So at 6 months, I was like, you know what? You're kind of the worst. And you're the only reason that I'm stressed out. Like the only thing that stresses me out is going to my OB. So you're the common denominator and you're fired. So I moved to the next one.
Good for you.
Kind of philosophy. I asked them right away. I was like, I've been dealing with this for 6 months. Like we're only a couple months out here. Like, I think it's ridiculous. You know, like what is the reasoning? They couldn't give me reasoning. It was just like, because you're high risk, you have type one.
That's just like, it.
Like, what am I high risk for? And they would never tell me. Like, it was never like, at the very, very end, I asked. And they told me everything, all the extra tests and all the extra worry and all of that was because, what did they say? I think she said type ones have, and they don't even know why, like they couldn't even put it on like paper of like why this happens, but type ones have a risk of, I think it was a 5% greater risk of stillbirth than like somebody without diabetes. 5%.
Yeah, but 5%, like you can still treat you like an individual, like not just a statistic.
Yeah, 5%. And 5% is like nothing, right? Like it's 5% away from 0%. Like,
right.
Insane to me that all of this was because like, oh, you have a 5% chance of like stillbirth, right? Or
you have a 95% chance of not.
Yeah. Or you have a whatever percent, like all the percentages they gave me, I was like, they're bullshit anyways, because I would ask for statistics and she'd be like, oh, I haven't looked those up actually. And I'm like, okay. And then I would come back the next week and I'm like, okay, that was a pretty intense conversation, like expecting her to have statistics. No statistics. And my husband would like chime in, which he was pretty like this in the beginning to the end. He was a totally different human. He was like, so he was like challenging them and like asking them for stats because he's like, you're treating her and us like, you know, it's like she's literally needs to be bedridden. Like that's how they were making it seem of like anything I would do would basically kill the baby. Like, because I had diabetes, it was just like, it had no chance at being a healthy human. And I was doing so much damage to it. And like, it was just so bad, like so bad. And I didn't have anybody like, I mean, I had you guys, but like, none of you had walked through that, right? Like right. There was, but like, she was in the midst of like having a baby and all of that. And so I was just like in some Facebook groups. And that was kind of like my support of people who were like in it in the moment. But yeah, it was overall like awful in the sense of like having type one, like having diabetes, but diabetes itself, like my experience with it, like the actual blood sugar part.
Yeah.
Not being an issue like at all. Like it's the weirdest thing to explain. Like it was such an issue, but it wasn't at all.
It's so interesting. Like I think about this all the time now because like just got married, you know, a few months ago. Like I'm have baby fever. It's not coming anytime soon. Like I'm not gonna have a pop out child, but like I think about this all the time of like what would that phase look like. And just you talking about like the throwing up, I literally was just thinking about this the other day of like, oh my gosh, this like feels scary now because yeah, what if you eat something, you take this huge dose of insulin and then you throw it up? Like what? I'm like, that feels scary. And then having to monitor blood sugar so much more closely on top of everyday life, like it's a whole nother job. And I give you so much credit for just going through 9 months. Like that's a long ass time.
It was insane.
But, and then, yeah, you add on this whole another factor of like, you're type 1 diabetic, so you're automatically high risk. Okay, like, understood that you need more monitoring, but why wouldn't you make the treatment plan based off of what you're seeing in the monitoring, not just off of these textbook statistics that you can't back up with other facts?
Yeah.
That's wild to me.
Yeah. And it was like, you know, you're the only one going through it in the moment. And so it's like, maybe I just, at first, it was like the first OB, I just stuck it out for 6 months because I was like, have all my appointments scheduled, you know, like I don't know any different. But then I was just like, this just doesn't feel right. Like there's no way they would all treat me like this. And then I went through three of them at the same clinic. The last one was phenomenal. He was actually like amazing. We only had him for like a week or two because he does a lot of like surgeries and stuff. And so by the time I switched to him, I was only going to be able to see him like once or twice. And they had me hopping around with everyone. And at that point, I like didn't like all the other ones. And so I was like, and all the clinic like staff was terrible when I would talk to them. And it was just like for this like sliver, you know, it was so hard to hold on. So I ended up switching clinics completely. But he was a DO, so he was more like holistic minded. Like that's kind of how his training was, but he's a medical doctor, right? And so he kind of goes back and forth. And I was so excited. We had like a great connection. Like my husband coached his son in football the previous year. So we like had that going on and he was wonderful. And the reason I loved him was because he was actually probably the only medical professional that I saw myself that wasn't for like afterwards. We found a couple like for Whitaker that were great, But for me myself, he was the only one that was literally like, I had like 8 months of pent up like frustration and was just like ready to like kind of unload on him. And I did in a sense, and I shared my experience after, but he straight up from the moment we met him, he was like, you know, how are your blood sugars? He didn't ask to like look at them, because it's so funny. You sit down with any doctor, like, or the dentist, they're like, oh, you're type one. How's your blood sugar? Like, what am I supposed to say to you? Like, they're good. They're so good, you know, or they're terrible. Like, then what do they say? Like, it's just such an arbitrary question that like cracks me up. And so he asked something about like how my control had been and how I was like handling it and all that. And then he just would like said different things of like, you know, I'm sure you've experienced so far in your pregnancy or just overall the last 18 years of like just how like over medicalized, you know, the medical system like takes, you know, treats type one and just people first language, which I was like, what the heck? You're informed. He was like, you know, diabetes, you're not like a diabetic, like you're not here. Like diabetes is not the whole focus here. Like you're a woman, you know, and you're pregnant and you have type one. And so because of that, there's little bits that like make you higher risk than somebody else. But like so far, everything we've looked at for the last 8 months of data and all these extra tests you have to do because you're type one, they all look great. Like you're doing great. You know, like he was phenomenal. And I was so sad to have to like switch from him, but it just ended up being so frustrating for many reasons. Not him, but he was great. But yeah. The only person I experienced in 9 months that was like, no, you're doing great. Like, yeah. And I asked him like, when are you going to induce me? Like, I don't want to be induced by the way, but like, when's the date? And he was like, no, I feel super comfortable going to like 39 weeks. And then if you want to go further, then, you know, we'll kind of be touch and go from there and we'll be in communication and, you know, we'll monitor things. And he said, my job is not to like boss you around or like tell you what to do, which all the other ones were telling me what I could and couldn't do. He's like, that's not my job. My job is to like inform you based on like what I know. And, you know, if you make the wrong decision, like I'll let you know you're making the wrong decision, but I'll let you make it. Like it's your choice, you know?
Well, right. Exactly.
What? Like I don't have to be induced. I can go into spontaneous labor like if I want to, which I want to. Yeah, it was wild. He was a gem. And it was a guy. Like all the women that I dealt with were so not sympathetic at all. He was the only one. It was great.
So interesting. It's like, wouldn't, if you're a woman who has experienced, I'm assuming, you know, experienced motherhood or experienced pregnancy, why wouldn't you want to treat the person in front of you like a person? And, you know, as a mother, like you're there. Your job is to, one, yes, keep yourself healthy, but to also protect your child and make the best decisions as their mother. Like, it's a totally different role and they should be treating you as that.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I'm so sad that you had to leave him. Was that the one? I remember you had sent a message to us, like, just sharing how well the appointment went. Was that the doctor? Oh, we love him.
Yeah. For like 2 weeks. Thing. It was great. It was so great.
Yeah. How was the, if you don't mind talking about it, how was the labor experience? Like, were you worried about it? Were you excited for it? Like, what were the things coming up there?
I just took a deep breath. My husband looked at me like, what's she going to share?
You don't have to, whatever.
I'm absolutely an open book. And I think that all of this is so important because it doesn't get talked about, right? I was super afraid of going into spontaneous labor because I had never done it before. I had had historically very, very bad, painful, like cramps during my period. And so I was like, if contractions are worse than that, like, oh my God. But the last few years have been definitely on the more like holistic, like natural route. And so I was in this weird place of like, I would actually rather just do like a home birth, but like having no experience, I was like, there's no way I can do that. I can't convince Dylan to be comfortable with that. I don't feel super comfortable with that, even though I do in a sense. I couldn't find a doula or a midwife at the time that was like comfortable with that. And so it was like the hospital was the only route. And I told him, even though I went back and forth at times, and I would just, the whole time I was so frustrated because it felt like I didn't have that as an option because I had type 1, but everyone, like, everything was because I had type 1, but nobody acknowledged because, like, how well controlled I was. Like, that my blood sugars were more controlled than, like, the average human. Like, that doesn't have diabetes. Like, it was just wild. Every time it was like, you can or can't do this because you have type 1. And I'm like,
what? Are you looking at the numbers? Like, are you looking at?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. So that was hard because I was like trying to figure out emotionally. I was like mourning with the loss of that like option. Looking back now, and I told my husband, I committed for this first pregnancy. I said, we're going to use this as just gathering a bunch of information, you know, based on what my body does, even though the next time it'll probably do something different. But at least like we're learning, we'll learn like what the doctors do around here, how the hospital treats us, like all the things. And even though it was so hard and I had so many moments where I was like crying because I was like, my friend over here gets to have a home birth, like, or a birth center birth, like, and I can't, like, that's off the table for me. Like, it was just so frustrating. But yeah, so just use that as an opportunity to kind of like gather information for the next time. So I could be like, hey, look, here's all what I did in 9 months. Like, I did all of that. The doctors did nothing. Like, we can do this. But yeah, so I was super nervous around, I think once I hit the third trimester and I was like, oh, okay. And then I hit like week like 34, whatever it was, where it was like, if baby comes now, it's like a 97% chance that they like would live or something like that. It was like very high statistics that I'm like, oh, the baby could come any moment now and I would have him right here. And oh my gosh, right? Because when you're like not that close, it's like, oh, you're pregnant. But like labor is so far off and you're also just like, well, I'm in this situation. Like there's nothing I can do about it. I can't get out of it. There's only one way to get out of it, right? Is to have this freaking baby. And so as it got closer, it was just kind of coming in and creeping in of like, but it was just so much of like the unknown of like, that was scary. You know, my biggest worry was like my blood sugars. And even though they had been phenomenal, like during my pregnancy, and I am the one that was like making all the adjustments, and I would just inform my doctor and he, like, in over a 5 minute call, and he was like, okay, cool. Yeah. Yeah. I saw that you made that change. Like, good job. You know, keep going. I was like, wow.
Sounds good.
My endo was the one that was the least, like, the most, like, hands off the whole time, which is like so baffling. So baffling. And I never like, I should have used that. I should have been like, you should call my doctor. Like, you should call him because I'm sick of how you're treating me. Like, maybe he'll stand up for me.
Call my endo. They can talk, they can speak about my diabetes. You cannot.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah. Now I regret not doing that, but oh well. But yeah. So I was super, super scared as it like kept approaching. And I was also going back and forth on like, do I want to do an epidural? Do I not? Like weighing the pros and cons. And like, also for me, like there's just, because I had just had that experience with diabetes, I also had experienced or like researched a ton on like different protocols they do in the hospital and all the things that are just like normal and standard that maybe not necessarily have been like looked at for a while, you know, of like, we should reevaluate why we're doing this. Or maybe this isn't appropriate for every single person. Mm-hmm. And so I had written out my birth plan and it was just like so exhausting because I felt like I was having to like do the opposite of like every single standard and all of that. And like still having to advocate, knowing I would be in this like crazy state that I had never been in before. And knowing I didn't want all of that like responsibility to be on Dylan to like communicate all of that. So I was trying to get all of that done ahead of time. And yeah, so like labor and delivery was like this very scary thing, though I don't think I talked about it. I didn't verbalize it a ton, but it actually ended up going like phenomenally. Like, maybe that's an overstatement, but like so much better. Like my sister asked me the other day, she's pregnant too. And she goes, so 1 to 10, how would you rate? Like, and she was there too. Like she was in the room. So she watched me get an epidural. She literally, like, Dylan was holding my hand up here. She was, like, down there watching. And that stuff, like, totally interests her.
Yeah.
And wow. And, like, she's pregnant. So she's like, oh, my God, this is going to be me. Like, what better time to learn?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, but she asked me the other day, she's like, 1 to 10, what would you rate, like, labor? And I was like, I was like, that's such a loaded question, and I don't even know how to answer it because I've not been there before, so I don't have anything to compare it to. Honestly, it was a million times easier than I thought it was going to be, in the sense of like my blood sugars weren't crazy. Oh my God. I have not told this story to so many people, and I don't know why I just thought about this. My freaking Omnipod decided, I stayed on auto mode or auto, whatever it's called, the whole time, and just kept making a lot of like adjustments. The whole pregnancy I was on automated mode, and I had to be induced, which I didn't want to be, but I had to be for medical stuff, and I'll talk about that. But started on Saturday, ended up having him and going into like labor like mid-afternoon, like Monday, and then had him Monday night. So it was all weekend. I wake up the day that I'm like starting to kind of feel crampy and my body's like progressing. And I look, and I can't remember what it said on my phone. Oh, it was just like a new screen of like, put in all your settings. And I was like,
what?
Yeah, it literally just like, I don't even know the word. It just like, it thought I was resetting the whole system. I have literally no idea. I didn't touch it. It sat on the thing all night long. Yeah, so I look at it and I'm like, I don't even know my settings. Like, they're in here.
They've changed so much. Like,
yeah. I was just like, are you fucking kidding me? And so then luckily I had my computer with me. And so I was able to go on like the website and like look in there and see all the settings. So I'm like doing that for an hour or two, which distracted me while I was in labor.
Like, yeah, I'm literally actively about to have a child and I have to do this. Like, diabetes has to do this to me.
Yeah. And then I was like having issues with my insurance. The only time I could talk to them, I had a call scheduled for weeks. I was freaking in labor. So I was like, I would just talk to them at the same time so that all of that would be like covered. It was just such a freaking crazy.
Hey, will you cover me having a baby? Because it's happening right now.
So crazy. Oh, so crazy. God. But yeah, so my whole thing, I had to like go in and input all my settings, and the way that like auto mode works versus like basal rates, like what you're doing, is the system like learns over time. And so I had like, because my blood sugars were so well controlled, I didn't really know. Yes, it had to do with my settings, but it also had to just do with like my history. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, there's no history. I don't know what my settings are. And if I just put my settings in, I remember when I first started it, my settings had to be like doubled from what they were on the Tandem because the system was just different. Yeah. So that was right in the middle of labor, which was freaking crazy. Like, made no sense to me. I haven't even thought about that for so long. That's so wild. So yeah, I was like having to redo in the middle of that.
Oh my God. While you're like,
yeah, literally while like my uterus is contracting and it's the worst pain I've ever felt in my whole life. And
that's not even something that you can just like hand off to anybody else. Like, you can't hand it off to Dylan and be like, here, be my pancreas. Like, I've been actively doing this for the past 18 years.
Like, and I told him, you know, I had like shown him, like, we had a game plan of like, if my blood sugar goes to this certain point, like, and I mean, it was like so funny because they make it seem like, make sure your partner's so on board. They make it seem like you're going to be unconscious. I'm like, I'm awake and able to make decisions, but I understand like trying to like, what's the word, delegate like some of the load, like we on keeping it 100, which I definitely did and it was helpful. But at that point it was like, I don't want to be on an insulin drip because every time I've done that in a hospital, it's been awful. And Dylan doesn't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do to like go into like manual mode. No idea. Don't know what my basal rates would be. Like, I haven't had to think about those for over a year. Like, it was so wild. So wild. But yes, anyways, overall, I told her, I was like, from how I was treated for 9 months and how like sick I was and how like just the emotional buildup to like getting to labor, I would give birth 10,000 times over again if I didn't have to like deal with all of that. Mind you, I had an epidural. It didn't fully work. So I was still in pain for sure. But that helped me. I was able to sleep a couple hours before I like had to push and all that. So I wasn't like exhausted because I had been there all weekend being induced. And so, but yeah, it was like my blood sugars, they were a little higher than, I mean, they were like, I think it was like 200 or something, which I was like, whatever. I didn't really even freaking care. Yeah. But Yeah, maybe my experience would have been different. I planned to go in like activity mode because I was like working out, right? Active labor. And so that was my plan. I don't remember if I ever actually ended up going into activity mode because there was on with the whole freaking pod things happening. Yeah. But yeah, like labor itself, like a dream, really. Like it was wild. And then right after trying to breastfeed and trying to get your milk in. So you're like, in a sense, double breastfeeding. I don't know what the term is. Yeah, you burn a shit ton of calories when you're breastfeeding, which you're just sitting there, right? So you don't really like realize that. So many. And so instantly after I had him, like, I wouldn't say my blood sugars were super crazy. The next 24 hours they were. I was going low, but not as low as I was like the next like week or so, because I hadn't been set up well. Like I hadn't been set up well the whole freaking pregnancy, but I wasn't set up well at all in the sense of your blood sugars are going to crash if you're not like proactively eating a ton. How much that is to eat, we don't know. Like, you know, like
figure it out.
Your insulin, how much? I don't know. Like it was just, and there's so much going on that I didn't even have time to think about that. And I was really committed to like trying to breastfeed. But after a week of having, because you have to like breastfeed to get him used to it and to like stimulate your body to make milk, but it's like a process. And so I'm having to breastfeed him whenever he needs it every 2 hours. And then I'm having to pump after that to like try to not necessarily gather milk, but like get my body to produce more. And then, so I was like working out back to back, two intense workouts, like back to back without having and like not sleeping, which affects your blood sugars. And so like not like the game plan of that at all, of like how to do this well. People just said, have snacks near you. Yeah, that didn't help. So it was so much reactive, like, meh, meh, meh. Like Dylan and I had been together for 3 years and he was like, after a week, he was like, I've heard your Dexcom go off more in this week than I have our entire relationship. Like something is wrong. Like what is going on? And like, didn't have a ton of support from my endo. And so I was like, I don't really want to reach out to him. Didn't have anyone else that was helpful. I ended up after about a week, I was like, we just had to make the call of like, we're just going to have to do formula. Like, you know, people are always like, breast is best. I'm like, no, a healthy mom is best.
Like yeah, healthy mom fed like golden.
Like, because yeah. I literally all I was doing was eating Skittles and drinking juice. Like I dropped a ton of weight right away. Like you do when you have a baby, but I think I lost a lot more weight than most women do because I wasn't eating anything besides sugar.
Right.
And I was a zombie. Like I was just a zombie. And I was like, but he sat me down a few times and was like, we really need to like reevaluate. It, of course, it's like 1 a.m.
Right.
But we're and he's exhausted and he's like, I don't think this is going well. And he's the one that pushed me to like breastfeed in the first place. And so I was like, no, I told you I would like really give it a shot. And he's like, this isn't going well. I'm like, what do you mean? Like my milk is coming in, he's being fed, you know, all the things. And he's like, you're not here. And I'm like, no, I'm here. Just so you know,
I'm right here.
Eating the baby. I'm pumping. Like I'm doing all like I'm here. You know, I was just like so offended because in that slight moment my blood sugar wasn't low and so I could think clearly. And he's like, no, you're a zombie. Like I'm feeling like I'm doing all of this on my own, though you're physically like feeding him, right? Everything else you're not here for. And I was just like, I couldn't really understand that. So yeah, it was a couple of those conversations. And then finally I was just like, okay, like I gave it. I had put a timeline on it of a few months was like me giving it a good shot, but I was like, okay, the timeline has to go out the window. This is urgent. And with breastfeeding, like you have to either keep doing it or not, like, you know, cause you get all these issues if you, you know, don't pump a certain amount of times or all of that. And so that was a surprise for me and my blood sugars were crazy. But then after we stopped doing that, they leveled out. I mean, they're still kind of trying to figure themselves out.
Yeah.
But overall, it's not like, oh my God, I bet you my low alert was going off like 30 times a day. And I'm not talking 70. I'm talking like 40. I was in the 40s all day long.
And I'm sure at that point, like you're so overstimulated with like, you know, the baby's needs and maybe crying or like, you know, whatever's happening. And then having the alarm and feeling shaky and like needing, I feel overstimulated if I'm low for more than like an hour. I'm like, I'm. Yeah. Throwing my phone at the wall. Like I can only imagine.
And you know, like some lows you recover from like in all the ways, like pretty quickly. Other ones you're like, or even highs, like yesterday, I wake up feeling like I was 400 last night, but in the past I've woken up feeling like I just got hit by a bus because I was 400. Same with a low, right? Like it takes you out for the whole day.
Yeah.
It's like, I didn't have a chance to like bounce back. It was just like low. That's where I was for a whole week. It was crazy.
And you want to be able to enjoy those for like, you know, you have a newborn, you want to be able to enjoy that. And like, although I'm sure it felt like kind of offensive at first when Dylan brought that up, it's kind of like a very caring thing to do because he wants you to take care of you so that you can enjoy this stage of your life and your son's life. That's honestly like a very loving thing to and conversation to have and a hard conversation to have, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. He was phenomenal. I trained him very well during those 9 months. They called me to tell me that they wanted me to be induced, which was like a whole thing. I told them I would do it if it was medically necessary. And they kind of took advantage of that. And they kind of like took advantage of me being like, I mean, I had him on my due date. So 40 weeks, but was induced like 2 days before that. But they definitely took advantage of like me not thinking clearly after, like they knew how scared I was for like the word induction. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have time to sit down and like research. I had cholestasis, which is like something to do with your liver. They didn't even really explain it to me. Your liver's freaking out. And so therefore you are extremely itchy. I didn't like get a rash. Mm-hmm. I just like would have all these itches. And so I would itch, itch, itch. And then I would like get scabs and bruises, literally all over my body. It was wild.
Just at the end or like during the whole pregnancy? Yeah.
Last week.
Oh, yeah.
Last week, it was wild. And I went to the ER. They like ran my liver test and they're like, oh no, they're normal and fine. And then I told my OB and he didn't want me to go past 39 weeks anyways. So it was just like the last straw for this guy, even though I had only had him for like 2 weeks. And he was like, no, you should be induced. This was like a Friday at like 5 o'clock. And they wanted me to come in 2 hours later to be induced. And I was like, oh my God. And Dylan was at like a football jamboree. So he wasn't even able to go with me. And I was like freaking out. And so I call him and I love telling people this story because it like, I'm so proud of him and I should tell him that more, but I'm also proud of myself because I had to advocate for 9 months for myself, but I showed him a lot of that. And so I taught him a lot of like, just because the doctor says you can or can't do something doesn't mean you can or can't do something. Right. Mm-hmm. Like they work for you. Like it's your life. And they called me and told me, and so I called him immediately, like hysterically crying. They said I have to be induced and all this stuff. And he was like, take a deep breath. And normally he would have been like, well, yeah, the doctor says it. Like, we got to do it. This is serious. This is our baby. You know, like, had we not just walked through those 9 months,
right?
Very much would have been like, yeah, whatever the doctor says, like, jump. And he was like, take a deep breath. Remember, you're in control. Just because they say you have to go in right now doesn't mean you have to. It's not this huge thing. Like the baby is healthy, you know, all the things. And I was like, oh, I taught you so well.
Good for him. I love that.
I know. It was amazing. That was probably my favorite part of the whole like labor part. Seeing how much he had changed over those 9 months. That was hard. It was so many hard experiences where he was pissed. But like to see his perspective on things and to see like his confidence in me, he's like, you know, your body, you're not in pain. Like he's still moving and breathing and all the things, like you got this, we'll go confident. And so we ended up going in like the next day, but yeah, it was wild.
I love that. That's so attractive too, to be like, oh, like you're right. Like you're not just like kind of doing what's, you're not just remaining complacent, right? Like it's just like, you're right. Like I'm in control. Everything's okay. We can take this on our, more or less on our terms, but the baby's terms, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how is motherhood? I know like it's been 9 weeks now. How is the baby? How are you?
We're great. He's been home with me the whole time. So that has been great. He goes back to work in 2 weeks. We live in Oregon, and this year they enacted the like paid family leave, like literally like a couple weeks before Witty was born. And so he got 12 weeks with that. He got 4 weeks paternity leave with his work, and then he had 2 weeks of vacation saved. So he got more paid time off than I did for my job.
That is wild.
Yeah, so he's literally been home the whole time, which I think has definitely helped in my experience, like, postpartum right away. I haven't cried, like, one time. Like, I'm sure on my own, but, like, a lot of that is just, like, how much support, like, he's given me, which I'm so grateful for. And, yeah, like, I mean, I'm sitting on the couch that I spend 90% of my day on. Like, I don't move around a lot. Like, it's all just kind of on baby's terms. But yeah, I was very afraid of, like, postpartum depression. I have, like, some hormone imbalances and all of that. And, like, thank God it's gone so much better than I, like, expected, because I was, like, not excited about that part of, like, oh, I have a baby, really depressed and can't move, and, like, all the things. I don't care, you know? But yeah, overall, like, what have we done? We haven't done, like, a ton of things, but, you know, everyone's different with, like, a newborn. Like, they don't take them out for, like, 3 months, which I totally get. Or they take them out and they do all the things, or in between. And so last weekend two weekends ago, we went to Seattle to see my family. So we drove 7 hours twice. He slept the whole time. I was like, but he doesn't sleep during the day normally. So we were like, maybe we need to find a job where we're driving all day long.
What an angel. Aww.
No. So he got to meet a bunch of the family. Last weekend, Dylan and I were very involved in Young Life, which is, like, a youth ministry, and they have camps all over the U.S. And so there's one about an hour and a half, 2 hours away from us that he has a bunch of friends at still. They had, like, a harvest party. So we went to that, and, like, he lived there about 5 years ago. So before he was married, before he was a dad. And so he got to just walk around and show off his little baby. But he went on his first little hayride. So yeah, we've, like, done some things, went to a pumpkin patch, you know, a bunch of things. And, but a lot of it is just, like, staying home and trying to get him to nap. I've kind of given up on the idea, especially after the pediatrician was like, you know, some babies just don't sleep and it's fine. And I was like, okay. But he sleeps like an angel at night. He wakes up one time. That's it.
I feel like that's, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a mom. I don't know, but I feel like that at least you have that. Like, that's amazing, but I'm sure you know, the breaks during the day would be great too.
Yeah. There's been times where we've been up quite a few times during the night, and the next day we're just, like, out of it. And I have to remind him when he's frustrated. I'm like, dude, most people are like this. Like, they are survive because the baby didn't sleep all night, and then they're not sleeping during the day, and nobody's sleeping, and you're a different person. So we have to be grateful that we get that break at night.
Right.
But yeah, overall, a lot harder in some ways, a lot easier and better in some ways. I definitely, like, having to advocate for myself for those 9 months taught me, like, how to better advocate for him. So there's been conversations with doctors and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, we're not going to go into this conversation. Like, I said no, or I said this is what I want, and, like, it's not outrageous, you know, like, or, you know, if you can't respect that, like, we'll move on. Like, I have no problem moving on.
Mama bear mode.
So yeah, overall, it's been wild and great. I'm so glad to not be pregnant anymore. But
what was the first meal that you had after labor, or did you have, like, a special thing that you were looking forward to?
Sure. Not necessarily, because I think I brought this up in Keeping It 100, but I got COVID from our wedding 2 years ago, and I still can't taste or smell. I have on a good day, I can taste and smell probably, like, 10% of things.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I know that was still happening.
Yeah, which was very weird with, like, pregnancy cravings, because I didn't have a lot of them, but I would have a random one. It was all food from, like, when we were kids. So it was, like, Uncrustables, Hot Pockets, like, all the things. And I was like, I didn't eat for 5 months, so I need to eat whatever I can. And I would be, like, so craving it. And then I would eat it, and I would just be, like, unsatisfied every time. Like, it was terrible.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I'm working on that now. I'm trying to find a doctor who, like, a lot of them do, like, Chinese medicine and stuff, which has been known to, like, help, but I couldn't do that when I was pregnant, and I couldn't do it when I was breastfeeding. So now I'm like, 2 years later, it's my turn. Maybe I can taste again.
Taking care of you.
That's my goal right now. Try to get that.
I mean, heck yeah. I mean, on his first birthday, you want to be able to taste the cake, I'm sure.
So. Right?
Yeah. So there wasn't necessarily a meal.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. But you got a baby. So that's even more. Even better. So I'm sure you've heard on the podcast before, but when we have guests, we love to ask the question of just like, what if somebody's listening right now, what uncensored advice would you have around whether it's diabetes management, pregnancy and diabetes, labor, whatever you want to share? And I know I didn't put this in the question in the email, so I'm throwing you off with it, but what uncensored advice would you give?
I would say, I mean, I feel like I knew this before being pregnant, but it just amplified everything. And just my experience that I've shared today, like knowing, especially after being, I wouldn't even say like 18 years of being diabetic really teaches you about your body. Like if you are, you do something like keeping it 100, or you like intentionally are curious and you dig into things, like then you learn your body, right? I don't think with diabetes, I ever just like, oh, you know your body better than I do. Like, I don't know about that. I think I'm just being super reactive and I'm just trying to like figure it out and maybe think I'm confident, but I'm not. But like after like having all gained all those tools and like the emotional part of it, just like I shared in my story, like I hopped to 5 different OBs because I was like, this is not okay. This is my experience and you guys are making it terrible. And so we're going to move on, you know? And like, maybe I wasn't as vocal as like I wish I had been in certain conversations, but at the end of the day, it was like just advocating for yourself, because diabetes is so like over-medicalized in the pregnancy world, but also just like it is, but it isn't. Like, it's just such a weird experience. And so like, if you're not fighting for yourself, like nobody's going to, you know, like the endo doesn't care. If there's really shitty endo, like you just paid them $300. Like they got what they wanted. Like regardless, like it depends on their motives, right? Like why they're a doctor. But yeah, I would say like overall, like trusting that you know what's best for your body, maybe even if you don't like understand what's going on, and just advocating for that, even if it means like uncomfortable conversations, having to like fire a medical professional because they don't know anything, you know, like.
There.
I would say like just add, and I've had different spurts in the past of like learning how to advocate for myself, and it doesn't ever get any easier, but like really being committed to that, because like I said, like nobody's going to. Yeah. It's like a right.
This is so good. And like again, I mean, I like this was so important even for me to hear, because again, like I don't know what the next year or two will bring. And like, I'm in that position of just actively thinking about these parts of life. And I know that so many other people are too. So just thank you for your transparency and openness to talk about this, because not a lot of people are. So thank you so much.
Of course. Of course.
And then if you're open to connecting, if anybody can DM you, I will put your information in the show notes, but no pressure if you're not comfortable with that.
Yeah, please. No, I have a girlfriend who I met, I want to say like halfway through my pregnancy, just in a random, like more holistic type 1 pregnancy like group. And I posted something and I was like trying to figure out if I wanted to go into manual mode, and I had no idea how to do it. And my endo knows nothing about the Omnipod, and so he wasn't helpful. So I was like, I need somebody to help me figure it out. And we ended up connecting and we've become like such good friends, and she's due in a couple weeks. And so like, I've got to walk her through, you know, my experience. She's literally having the same experience, but she lives in South Carolina. And so getting to like remind her, like, no girl, like you got to keep fighting, you know, but like, it's worth it in the end. And like, yeah. So we've like got to connect over that of just like me sharing my story, and her and I are now like, how do we figure out how to like start a group or something of like, cause nobody knows. And then you go through it by yourself and it's like, doesn't have to be that hard. So yeah, I'm totally open to sharing more details and encouraging people, and just, yeah, because it's wild out there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the community that is needed. So thank you so much.
Of course.